It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
All right, 503 on the Fan, hour four of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here. Of course, till 6 o'clock, Big Mike Francesa will come your way. Pete Hoffman in Manhattan, Ernie Acosta in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio. Well, nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
We have reached our conclusion to the Sweet 16. The New York Knicks have done incredibly well in this round in the Benigno Bracket of Pain. They've got another chance to make it a clean sweep. The Knicks so far in this round of action, 3-3. We'll see if they can make it 4-4 as we head to the Elite Eight. The bracket, which has been updated, is at WFAN.com/pain or on my Twitter account, at Evan Roberts, WFAN. Let's start with this matchup from the Franklin College region. This was supposed to be, I write out the schedule like a week ahead of time so I don't get confused. This was supposed to be Monday out of respect to Coach Shula, who passed away that day. We moved it to today, and that would be the 1982 AFC Championship game. You can call it the Mud Bowl. You could call it the Tarp game. You could call it the A.J. Dewey game. Mm-hmm. Call it a lot of things. Its opponent, the New York Knicks, coming off the bench and their subsequent suspension in 1997.
Wow. You know, it's a tough one. I mean, they both were, you know, the extreme amounts of pain, obviously.
Yes.
I got to go with the Jets in the 82 championship game here. You know, the 97, the bench thing is very worthy opponent. You know, there's no question about that. And again, many times I've referenced the hosing that the league gave the Knicks. You know, Patrick Ewing went 10 feet off the bench, was nowhere near the melee that was going on, and they suspended him. You know, of course, they blew the 3-1 lead, and we all know that was the last shot they were going to get at Jordan in the conference finals, and they were a good team. They won 57 games, all of that. Very painful. Painful night. Game 6, I was there at the Garden. All of that, everything that went around it. But, I mean, the 82 title game, you know, I got to go with that. I mean, you know, Shula not putting the tarp on the field, rain, the constant rain, and just the absolute disaster that Richard Todd was. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. You know, the more I think about it, the most disliked Jet I could ever think of is probably Richard Todd. It's probably him. I mean, he was so bad in that game, and I understand. Look, they were compromised by the tarp. The Dolphins were less affected by it than I think the Jets were in that game, because the Jets, you know, they relied on speed, relied on Wesley Walker going deep. You know, they relied on Freeman McNeil running the football. You know, they relied on that kind of thing, and they were compromised because of that. And you add in Richard Todd, who I always said nobody found the open linebacker better. And the fact that I think he completed more passes to A.J. Dewey than anybody else that day. the game was no score at halftime. I think it's got to be that. I mean, it just the brutality of that 82 championship game has to be that. I one game from the Super Bowl, you know, they'd won those two previous playoff games. They blow out the Bengals in Cincinnati, who are the defending AFC champions. That great game when they beat the Raiders in L.A. with 90,000 people there and all the stuff that went down with that. That was a tremendous win. And then to have it all fall apart. And remember, like I said, that year they won't, you know, if you add in the playoff games, they played 12 games that year. They won 8 out of 12. 3 of their 4 losses were to the Dolphins. They lost the 2 regular season games to Miami and then that game as well. So it has to be, the, as I will always call it, you know, most people call it the Mud Bowl. I call it the A.J. Dewey game.
Yeah. It's a problem when a game has so many different things that could define it for horrible reasons.
Right.
And that game certainly does. I mean, the Knick thing, look, I think to this day, and we certainly heard it with Rod Thornton a couple of days ago, it still ticks you off that they made that decision.
Of course.
And that's really where it comes from. Not just losing the series and blowing the lead, but you know, the NBA with this rule of come 6 inches off the bench, you're done.
And that's what always got me ticked off. You know, Ewing hardly went off the bench. I mean, he maybe went 10 feet. He wasn't involved in the melee. He didn't go up into, you know, where the action was. So that always got me really, really, really aggravated. And let's be honest, it cost them that series. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it.
No doubt. No doubt about it. 58% on Twitter thought A.J. Dewey, the AFC Championship game, would advance. So they are correct. So all four number one seeds have survived
all
the way to the Elite Eight. That's correct.
And who are the number one seeds are who, by the way?
I will let you know that the number one seeds are obviously the A.J. Dewey game.
Right.
The Mike Socia game and losing in the NLCS.
Right. Charles Smith, I guess.
The Charles Smith Memorial and the Tom Seaver trade. So they have all successfully gotten their way.
That's interesting.
To the Elite Eight. Yeah. That, you know what that shows you? The selection committee did an outstanding
job. They really did.
All right, this one I'm really, really, I don't know what you're going to do here.
Right. This is all Jets, right?
This is a Jets versus Jets matchup. They're different in some ways. I don't know. All right, it's in the overnight region. We have the two overtime loss to the Browns in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have losing to the Chiefs at Chase Stadium in 1969 in the playoffs.
Wow. Wow. That's a very tough one. That's a real white knuckler, you know?
Yeah.
It's a real white knuckler, no question about it. The 69 loss to the Chiefs, obviously, you know, we didn't know at that time that it was never going to probably ever get any better for Joe Namath anymore. You know what I mean? I didn't realize that day. I didn't realize that I was not going to see the Jets in the playoffs for another 12 years. I didn't realize that Joe Namath was not going to have another winning season as the Jet quarterback. I didn't think I'd see another division title. I didn't think it would be almost 30 years till I saw another division title. It was 29 years till 1998. There was so many different things. Walking out of that day, freezing my rear end off as we left that day from that game. The goal line stand, Namath getting stopped by Buck Buchanan and Curly Cup, all that kind of thing. Everything that went down. Otis Taylor over the middle, Mike Battle fumbling the punt at the end of the game. So many bad things. Heading for the subway and listening to some guy who was absolutely bombed, who I guess was so bombed he didn't see the second half, and the guy telling him, no, we lost. You know, some guy telling the guy, no, we lost, because the guy was so wasted. I remember that happening, too.
Tremendous.
So all those things. I think it's got to be the Cleveland loss, though. I got to go with that double overtime disaster in Cleveland. You know, there was so many things surrounding that. The game against the Chiefs, it was 6-6. But, you know, they didn't have a 10-point lead with less than 5 minutes to go in the game. You know, you didn't have the ridiculous roughing the passer by Mark Gastineau. You didn't have, you know, Joe Walton not letting Ken O'Brien do anything in the game after Pat Ryan started and got hurt. The extended agony of the Mark Moseley missed field goal in overtime, the chip shot he misses to just extend my pain as I was walking out the door heading to a bar at that particular moment, not wanting to see the field goal go through. And even though I think they would have had a good shot to beat the Broncos that year, they would not have beaten the Giants in the Super Bowl if they got there. I do feel that. But there were so many things. You know, they were 10-1, the collapse, the win over the Chiefs. It's got to be the Brown loss. I mean, it just was so painful, and so many things that surrounded it. I'm going to go with, I believe it was January 3rd. 1987. So I'm going to go with the loss to the Cleveland Browns.
The loss to the Browns advances. Twitter not surprised. 79% voted for it on Twitter. And so now the Elite Eight is set. I will tell you the seeds that are remaining. We have four number ones, a two, two threes, and a 10. So we've got one 10 seed.
So we got a real, we have a real, underdog involved.
That's
here.
Right. We got a Cinderella story.
And the breakdown is what for the team? What is it? Three Knicks, three Jets, and two Mets.
That is correct. And the way it matches up is that we have Jets versus Jets, Mets versus Knicks, Mets versus Jets, and Knicks versus Knicks. So we've got an all Knick matchup in one of the regional championships.
That's the only one where there's the same team against each other.
Well, no, there's a Jet, a Knick.
Oh, okay.
Jet, Knick, Mets, Jets, Mets, Knicks.
I see.
So nice diversity as we go to the Elite Eight. And so next week, Monday, Tuesday, Elite Eight, Wednesday, Final Four, and Thursday, we will crown a champion in the Beningo Bracket of Pain.
And what is the now? Is there any not that I would know? Is there any betting going on this thing?
A couple of my friends had to rip up their ballots, their brackets, because their champion is gone. I had a couple of guys who thought Belichick resigning as head coach of the Jets was going to win this thing.
Right.
And I was never confident of that. I know from working with you and listening to you that the one seeds were going to be very tough to knock off.
Yeah.
Very.
Those are very good. Those are the one seeds. Those are very. Yeah, that's a very tough group of one seeds there.
No doubt. I mean, the pain is just off the charts when you think about it.
Yes.
And it's very well represented. But you can check out my Twitter account, Evan Roberts, WFAN, for an update. We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls. And coming up at 5:30, we will talk to Thornton McHenry. He wrote the article in the Post about A-Rod and J-Lo out now on buying the Mets. So we'll find out more details about that and what the heck is going on with somebody buying the Mets. You know, is this going to be a problem now because they're so insistent that SNY is not in the deal? So get a Met ownership update in about 15 minutes, but we'll come right back with your calls. Beningo and Roberts.